The Day After Tomorrow is the first disaster movie in which the end of civilization is brought about not by alien invasion or asteroid, but by global warming and the next ice age. Film critic David Edelstein has a review.
If I had to catalog all the moronic plot turns in The Day After Tomorrow, we'd be here until the next ice age. It's just so very bad. You can actually have a pretty good time snickering at it, unless, like me, you think there's something to this global warming thing, and you shudder at the irony of a movie made to warn people about a dangerous environmental trend, completely discrediting it. By now you know the premise. Global warming melts the polar ice caps, which makes the oceans rise and disrupts the Gulf Stream. Paleoclimatologist Dennis Quaid saw this coming, of course, but no one high up in the administration would listen. The first half hour is full of standard corny disaster movie foreplay, and it's kind of fun to be ahead of everyone on screen. Quaid gets introduced to Ian Holm as an expert named Terry Rapson at a conference and says, "Professor Rapson? I've read your work on ocean currents. I just love that stuff." Climatologists stare into their screens while munching on some piece of food and say, that's strange. The temperature at George's Banks just dropped 13 degrees. Must be a broken sensor. Idiot! Hasn't he seen the previews? Here, Quaid mixes it up with Kenneth Welsh as an obvious stand-in for Vice President Dick Cheney.
Mr. Vice President.
Tom. You know Professor Hall.
Yes, we've met.
Professor Hall has some new information I think you should take a look at.
We just got these results from our simulation model. They explain what's causing the severe weather.
Look, I'll have to look at this later. I have a meeting with the director of FEMA right now.
This is very urgent, sir. Our climate is changing violently, and it's going to happen over the next 6 to 8 weeks.
I thought you said this wouldn't happen for another 100 years or so.
I was wrong.
Well, suppose you're wrong this time.
I wish that I were, but I'm sure that you're aware of what's happening all around the world.
Look, we're making all the necessary preparations for this storm. What more do you expect?
You have to start thinking about large-scale evacuations right now, especially in the northern states.
Evacuations?
Yes.
You lost your mind, Hall. I have to go.
Mr. Vice President, if we don't act now, it's going to be too late.
The filmmakers can get away with all that bum dialogue early on because we're still in a state of happy anticipation. It's a kind of therapy to see our fictional counterparts die in horrible ways, our cities crumble, our deepest anxieties realized. But the director of The Day After Tomorrow is Roland Emmerich, the man responsible for three of the clunkiest summer blockbusters ever made, Independence Day, Godzilla, and The Patriot. And Emmerich thinks that audiences will show up to see the big special effects, but what will keep them in their seats is the presence of recognizable human beings with recognizable human problems. I couldn't agree more, except that when it comes to weaving the personal stories in and out of the special effects set pieces, Emmerich has the most colossal anti-talent since Ed Wood Jr. In the midst of the tornadoes leveling L.A. and lethal hailstones pelting Tokyo, the flooding of Manhattan, the temperature drop of 10 degrees per second, the deaths of tens of millions, absentee dad Quaid announces he's going to snowshoe from Washington, D.C. to Manhattan, where his teenage son, played by Jake Gyllenhaal, is holed up in the New York Public Library making cow eyes at Emmy Rossum. "Your dad will never make it," says someone, and Gyllenhaal says, "He'll make it." And it's a testament to the actor's smarts that he knows how to soft-pedal that line so that it doesn't bring down the house. The Day After Tomorrow ends up feeling weirdly underpopulated because the scenes aren't thought out in terms of the movements of the masses, but the soap opera tribulations of the few, each of whom gets his or her own little moment of heroism, like Celia Ward as Quaid's ex-wife, a pediatric oncologist who remains at the bedside of a little boy with no hair as her clinic empties out. How are the FX? Good. Although at this point, most of us recognize computer-generated imagery, and so we register on some level that it's a computerized Antarctic ice sheet cracking, and a computerized Hollywood sign being blown away by a computerized tornado. The other problem is that all the cool effects, the destruction of L.A., the tidal waves, the car crashes, come early. The last part of the movie is people getting very, very cold, which is not that photogenic, although Emmerich shoots Gyllenhaal being chased by an Arctic chill as if it's Godzilla. The sad part is that Emmerich really thinks he's making a political statement. He even has the vice president admit on national television, I Was Wrong, which might actually be the movie's most far-fetched moment. Global warming experts I know are already girding themselves for a major PR setback. Is it possible that The Day After Tomorrow is a plot to make environmental activists look as wacko as the anti-environmentalists always claim they are?
David Edelstein is film critic for Slate.